All right, that's for Ling.
Oh,
no, for Ling would be up there.
For Mark? The only thing is, there's a couple of lights smack dab in the middle of it for reflection.
So you can't see it properly.
Just about maybe. Let's have a wee prayer and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for our time here this evening. For the opportunities, Lord, to put out the invitations today and to speak to people. And I pray, Lord, that even now, that you would work in people's hearts and minds, and that you would draw their attention to, Lord, the very real need to know you as Savior and to walk with you and to talk with you. Please bless our time in your presence. Please be with our brothers and sisters wherever they might be. I pray especially for Stan and the folks in Bangor, for the bishops up in Temple Patrick, Lord, for the Asquiths and the folks in Black Creek, and for Pastor Seeley and his family and the folks there in Grace Bible. For all those, Lord, that are lifting the King James and open up and preaching the full counsel of, please bless it, Lord. You know these days are very, very dark. I pray, Father, that you would fuel us and fire us up and enable us to shine just that little bit brighter. We love you and praise you. Please lead and guide us through the meeting. And Lord, we ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Let's take our big hymn books and we'll start with a song or two this evening. Amen. Hymn number 260. 260 in the big book.
show uncomfortable.
I'm troubled over a hater. I'm still troubled over a hater here in trouble.
Nothing to say. Tonight's reading is from Psalm 46. Psalm 46. I believe Stephen told a real short one tonight.
No nails.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. See that. There is a river, the stream whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place, the tabernacles, the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raised, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth moved. And the earth melted. Sorry. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. See that. Come behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. But still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Amen.
Thank you, sir. Some good verses there. That one, that number 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. Does not bode well for unbelievers. Amen. Thank you for that. Just want to remind everybody that we're on the little yellow prayer lists, aren't we? Pardon? There's going to be a new one on Sunday. Just want to remind you all as well that this time next week we will be gathering together to have our rededication service for the building. I was out today and I took handfuls of those up in police stations, shopping centres and post offices. In Eglinton, Strathfoyle, Drumahoe, and in the Waterside. So, plenty of people going to hear about it. I got to talk to a few folks about it. We'll just see how it goes. Please be much in prayer. It would be great if we had to leave that door open and put a few seats out the back, but we'll see how she goes. We're praying and hoping. We're glad Lynn's back in one piece. You had a good time in Germany. Good job.
So, and last thing, we went to the airport on the way back. We took a bus to the airport. The council there, so when we got there, we took a bus go there, and when we get off the bus, we went to the toilet. When we came back, and then where is my phone? I left my phone in the office.
So your phone is gone?
Then we saw a taxi and but there's no driver there and the phone rang and we couldn't get it and the other car. Then we could follow the taxi and it turned and then a taxi was coming and a passenger came up and I told the driver what happened because my husband's phone could check my phone.
Oh, and yes, yes.
Sometimes
I get to
see closer, sometimes
they're... So like cops and robbers. Follow that bus. But you got it back then?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
And you got to the airport in time.
I was
there already. That was a good job. I was thinking to myself, Lord, please show Ling something. And then I was thinking, but don't make it too serious. that's probably my fault. Don't make it too serious. So like action moving,
yeah.
Chasing after the.
I have my phone in my hand all the time because I check the stops.
Mm-hmm.
I did the house stops great. I didn't need that, but I do. But I didn't know when and why I just didn't, you know.
Well, I'm glad you got it back.
Yeah.
And boom.
Yeah. And then, yeah, when the taxi changed the bus and stopped before the bus, and I had the bus stop. I believe that the bus driver was a lady, and I guess she went.
Remember?
She told me, no, and she knew why I was coming. I knew my phone was in her head.
Oh!
Yeah,
someone had
tried
to get in.
I
didn't
get in and I gave her a phone
call. Well, that was very good of her.
She said, I really only my phone back.
Very good. I'm glad you got sorted out. I'm glad that's all it was, too. My goodness. Well, Lynn travelling, that is off. We're glad you're home safe and sound. Please do pray for the McNeil family, neighbours to Will and Christine. Do pray for the Archie Battersby family and lost a young fellow. That'll be coming off as well. And do pray for our meeting. Will's granny's back home again. One other thing, I would ask that you would pray for my dad. He has... He started to notice some swelling in his ankles and some redness round the bottom of his legs. I think maybe he at least had to get his tablets organised for him. He's getting a bit forgetful, so we appreciate prayers from my dad. We now have to make sure. I had to stamp my feet and grind my teeth and pinch my fists when I was talking to my three siblings. And say, Dad needs to go for a walk with you. At least twice a day, he needs to walk for a mile. Which is pretty good for a 90-year-old, but so I appreciate prayers for Dad. My dad, John Bradford. And Lord willing, you'll see him next week, because he's hoping to be up here. So, please do pray for him. I think that's about that. It's coming up the end of the month. Even it's the middle of the month actually, but all I'm thinking of is next Wednesday and this following Saturday. We have the rededication service on Wednesday. There is a gay pride parade on the waterside on Saturday. We will be gathering at the grassy knoll just outside of the railway station at about 12:30 with megaphones to do a bit of gospel preaching and with a handful of Bibles and gospel tracts, so you never know. There might be some there that are clinking, and some of them definitely are, but we'll be there. I think some folks from the Free Presbyterian Church are going to be there, and there's going to be the usual contingent of one or two from the Independent Methodists, so please do pray about that as well. Other than that, anything else? At the end of the month, life starts to get back to normal, so I know you all have private prayer requests that are needing prayed about, so we'll continue to pray about that. If you know of somewhere where you can put one of those up, take one. There's a bunch of them out there. You still have to put some in the letterboxes of everybody on the street, but other than that, lots of prayers. That's about that. Let's pray then, and then we'll sing another song. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for life and health and strength. You know all of our private prayer requests, Lord. You know all of our petitions. Just think especially on anyone with health issues. I pray especially for Pat and Steve at this time, my dad too. For Will's granny, Lord, that you would continue to help her to keep going. And we are thankful indeed that Lynn got back with Dr. Shine and her phone as well. And Lord, we know that you're in that. Anyway, please bless the rest of our time here together, Lord. I know there's many, many prayers going up to you, especially at this time. I know there's many prayers from many lost folks, and they'll go away disillusioned because they think you're not there. But you don't reward bad behavior, Lord, and you don't talk to other people's children. I pray, Lord, that they would accept you as Savior and be able to call you Father. And Lord, I know you want to give us all good. Please bless our time here this evening. Please be with all those that should and could be here and aren't. And please be with those that can't be here, Lord.
We broaden the borders of Bethel. Please, Lord, restore backsliders. Please reason and contend with those that have gone off the rails. Please put your hand upon the McMahon family, Lord. And Lord, just help us tomorrow with the finishing touches of the church and the church grounds. We love you and thank you. Pray all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's take our hymn books again. Big ones this time. 372. 372. Let the lower light speak up.
I would tell you how you changed my life completely.
now we can put our hymn books away. Turn to John chapter 8 with me this evening. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 8. I'd like to read a handful of verses up in the 40s. My age. Funniest thing you said all evening, Pat. Actually, it's in the 30s. That's Monica's age. John chapter 8, verse 38. We're starting that this evening. Everybody can take 20 years off their life.
Aren't you
the
day when you're 40?
Yes.
It's okay. My birthday. Sorry.
Now I'm a year older. Yes, indeed. Just for tonight, you can identify as someone that's 20 years younger than what you are. John chapter 8, beginning at verse number 38. Title for my message this evening is, How Do I Know? How do I know? John chapter 8, beginning verse number 38, and reading through until verse number 47. The Word of God says, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. And then said they to him, We be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Amen. A couple of verses there, verse 42 and verse 47, a whole bunch of verses there that speak concerning the thrust of the message this evening. How do I know? How do I know what? How do I know I'm going to heaven? Help us. Let's pray again, and then we'll get going. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again. Lord, there's just some folks in my mind this evening. Apart from all the other folks that have been on my mind, and the folks that are here right now, please be one of our number, Lord. But I'm thinking on Henry and Evelyn, and Stephen and Anne-Marie next door, and Carol and Harry and Marie down the road, for Michael and his family, for Jane and Corey, and for Norman and Joan, Lord, for all the folks on the Boy Road. I pray you, please, for your good hand upon them. Pray for the invites that go out. I pray for a special evening next Wednesday evening, for a time of fellowship, of just good old-fashioned hymns and prayers and time in your presence. But Lord, for right now, I pray you the same. Please minister to each one of us. I know there's only a few of us here, but you have promised that wherever two or three are gathered together in your name, that you'd be there in the midst. And Lord, we meet that criteria this evening. Please be one of us. Love you and thank you. Please, Lord, forgive us, cleanse us, refresh us, comfort us, straighten us, lift us up, Lord, heal us. Lord, just supply our needs. We ask all these things, Lord, as well as for our private prayer requests and petitions. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. All right. How do I know? As usual, They don't just read the scriptures and leave them hanging in the air and think on one verse. There's a little bit of context that needs to go into this, just these, what, 10, 11 verses of scripture that we have read this evening. And these verses that we have read basically amount to Jesus splitting a few hairs. In other words, just because you're religious does not mean you're going to heaven. The Lord is explaining in simple terms why the scribes and the Pharisees are not believers. And it doesn't matter the clothes that you wear. It doesn't matter if you have your shirt on back to front and you wear a petticoat over a long black overcoat. It does not make you a Christian. It does not make you bound for heaven. It does not make you a child of the King of Kings. The Lord was explaining to the scribes and the Pharisees that they weren't believers because they didn't believe or obey God's word. And it literally boils down to not being saved, not having repented of sins, and not trusting in Christ as Savior. It's very hard to trust a man's word whenever you have not put your faith in his actions. How would you trust God to help you with your life if you've never trusted him to save your soul? How can he help you right now when you haven't trusted him to save you for the endless ages of eternity? Problem with folks not being saved is that folks don't like to be reminded that they're not born, that they're not saved. And one of the things that these sort of people did back then is the same thing that the same minded folks do today. When you stand up and speak the truth, they want you to shut up. They have no intention of changing themselves. And we know that they tried to shut Jesus up. And eventually, move on a chapter or two in the book of John, they actually kill him. And for 3 days, they don't have Jesus preaching the gospel. But after that, of course, they had many disciples going out and preaching the gospel. They killed them. And because they're not saved, these are the things that not saved people do. They have no compunction about lying. We see that today in our news. The people that are supposed to be the pillars of our society, that our first citizens, have absolutely no compunction about lying and killing people. And they do it all to stop, to drown out the conviction of the Holy Spirit. All they want is, I think we spoke a little bit about it, they want the peace and the forgetfulness that the Holy Spirit will give to any soul that comes before God and repents and believes in him. It's the hallmark of the Bible believer, joy and peace and comfort and the greatest of purposes. But folks that's not saved, they're at the mercy of the first thought that flits through their heads. And the reason they are at the mercy of that is because they don't have anything to compare it against. You know, one of the things that God said, God promised to believers. He says, I'm not going to write my, we'll call them rules, it makes them sound very vicious. I'm not going to write my statutes and my laws in a piece of paper for people to carry around with them and to look at. I'm going to write it in their hearts and minds in the fleshy tables, he said, of men's hearts. Not tables of stone, men's hearts. And the Holy Spirit will remind of them from time to time whenever you meet them. Like when someone says, let's go out drinking. And the Christian says, hold on a second. The Holy Spirit has just reminded me that the Word of God says, who has wounds without cause? Who has a redness of their eyes? But those that tarry long at the wine. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is reason. And then you can say, well, hold on a second. God says that about drinking. I'm not going drinking. That is what God says that. The same about immorality, about not looking after yourself, about abusing your body. It says the same about lying and cheating and stealing. The Holy Spirit, goodness, even lost people know most of the Ten Commandments. But generally speaking, they're still at the mercy of their opinions and their feelings. He finishes this portion of scripture with a, that's why it is you behave the way you do. He starts by saying, You're certainly not God's children, because you're opposing God's Son. You're even conniving to kill him, because you belong to the devil. You're of your father, the devil, and he was a liar and a murderer from the very, very beginning. And then Jesus says, that's why you are the way you are, because you're not going to heaven. You have no idea. And I know for a fact that there are many people trying to extend their lives into eternity. They use exercise, they use money, they use education, they use jobs, they use medicines, they use bunches of stuff. The sad thing about it is, no matter how much medicine you take, what was it somebody said? Money can buy you the best education, but it can't impart wisdom. And money can buy the best of medicine, but it can't impart good health. Money can buy the most comfortable of beds, but it can't give you a good night's sleep. Friends, a lot of people are looking for the thing that God will give away for free to anybody that asks him. That is, of course, eternal life. But if your soul is not saved, your sins are not paid for, and what does that do to folks? You only have to look around. And you look around now, and I think we're all old enough, would you believe it? We're all in our 50s and 60s here. We are all old enough to remember TV, how it used to be, the old black and white. When the most outrageous thing was a cowboy shooting an Indian. And that was great, everybody enjoyed that. Cowboys are winning, the Indians always got a hard time. But now, the cowboys are doing all sorts of stuff with each other, and they're shown drinking, and they're shown indulging in the vilest forms of immorality. And that's not just in cowboy movies, that's in daytime television programs. And then you have other daytime television programs talking about the awful things that appear in daytime television programs. And people's minds are filled continually with this muck. And that affects people. There is a reason why there's a huge upsurge in immorality and drug abuse and sports and entertainment. There's a reason why there's a huge increase in the size of our governments, and the amount of lying and killing that goes on, and the amount of paganism and false religion. It's because people have walked away from God. Even people that have been in churches their whole lives are easy prey for the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses when they come around peddling their nonsense. All they're trying to do is produce a substitute for something that God gives away for free, gives his children for free. How do I know I'm going to heaven? First of all, believe what the Bible says. But how do I believe a book that was finished 2,000 years ago? Have a read at it. The things that the Word of God says are happening today and right now. When you look at the rejigging of countries, the 10 kings that are mentioned in Revelation chapter, I think it's Revelation chapter 17, they're forming. The way in which earthquakes are going across the world, which we have no control over, there's more, I think they call them killer earthquakes now than there ever have been. The wars and rumors of wars, goodness gracious me, it's almost like if there's no wars going on, the newspaper people go and instigate one so that there's something to talk about on TV. And the corruption at the highest levels of society is staggering. What the Bible say? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness in this present world. That's literally who our worst enemy is, the people that's supposed to be running the country. The Bible said all these things. The Bible spoke of the great lack, the great dearth of Christian teaching. It also speaks of the great lack of ability in people to listen to it. The Bible says that people will heap to themselves preachers having itchy ears. Now here's something about itchy, getting your ears scratched. I have 5 cats. I have, amazing how many of my lessons come from my cats. They don't like being lifted, but they let me lift them because I have always lifted them. And they'll wriggle about a bit, but if I rub their ear, they'll sit still because they like getting their ears rubbed. I remember a little baby that belonged to a family. The girl's name was Chloe. And she wouldn't sleep. She wouldn't sleep for her mummy and daddy. Do you know how I used to get her to sleep? I would hold her in this arm, and I would put my hand up by her ear, and I would just rub her ear. Just like that. Just give her ear a wee rub. And after a while, that comforted her, and she would go to sleep. When people get their ears rubbed, they become very relaxed and go to sleep, and that's exactly what's happening today. And nobody stands up and says, "Oh, hold on a wee second. Whenever I'm asleep, you're doing stuff, you're robbing me blind," but nobody says that. There is so much in the Bible that's happening right now, you have to be blind, ignorant, or stupid. There's a lot of stupid people about in this day and age. That phrase keeps rolling off my lips. It's incredulous, the things that people do as they ignore biblical prophecy coming true. The Bible says, repent of your sins. Admit to God that you're wrong. Tell him you're sorry. And ask him to save your soul. That's what the Bible says. Then how can I know I'm going to heaven? Because the Bible says when you do that, God will forgive you. And you'll go to heaven. It says Romans 10. Look at Romans 10. Repent of your sin and trust in Christ alone to save you. That is what the Bible says is the first step to living the best life in this world. The Word of God also tells you to have a wee read at the Bible, because that is the only publication in the whole world that is going to reinforce you, that is going to comfort you, that is going to guide you, that is going to direct you, that is going to give you peace in your heart. It's the only one. Even other Bibles like the AIDS for the soul, NIV. They're so confusing that, well, I've seen the people that the NIV produces. They're open to believing just about anything. And the Bible plainly says, it doesn't matter who comes giving you another story, don't believe them. Believe the King James Bible. And when you read it, remember this one thing. This indestructible book was kept there so that God could speak to you, so that you could have God's love letter to you, to each one of us. How do I know I'm going to heaven? Because I have experienced the difference between being a sinner on my way to hell and a sinner on my way to heaven. Before I was saved, I was a hell-bound sinner. After I was saved, the burden of my sins was lifted up. I literally weighed about 5 stone lighter. I felt like that. I know what it's like to be saved. You must have that experience. Remember Paul on the road to Damascus? He knew what it was like to meet with the Lord. He was blind and now could see. He met with the Lord. Your sins are not just forgotten, they're paid for. Every single one of them paid for. And then they're forgotten. How do I know I'm going to heaven? Because as the years go on, you look forward to going there a wee bit more every year. The more aches and pains that you get, the more times it's difficult getting up out of a chair or what. You think, someday I'm going to go to heaven and I'll end up with a new body that'll never have another ache or pain. You look forward to going to heaven. How do I know I'm going to heaven? Because the indwelling of the Holy Spirit reminds me of scriptures and again comforts me and enables me to convey my thoughts and desires to God in heaven. How do I know that I'm going to heaven? Because there comes a time in my day or in my week that I want to please God and that I will do things God's way. Like, what do I do on a Sunday morning? Well, I'm going to please God because he said, turn up at church. So I'm going to turn up at church. How do I know I'm going to heaven? Because even though the preacher is good looking and very young and very fit and much loved and daring, I still enjoy it. I get to sing a few songs, I get to hear, I maybe get a thought or two that had never crossed my mind. But I enjoy going to church because God told me to go to church. Not because the preacher is wonderful, although he is, but I get to sing hymns with other people. I get to know what they're like. I get to praise God, even if I can't sing. I get to come away a few pounds lighter. Put a few quid in the plate, the tithes and the offerings. Maybe even a bit of elbow grease. And that doesn't cost me a thought. I support the church. I read my Bible. I get something out of it that the world can't give me. And more importantly, I'm ready to put it into practice in my life. How do I know I'm going to heaven? Because my tastes have changed. I would rather have godly things than ungodly things. I've started to not like the things of the world, and I've started to like the things of God more. And I've found that the world changes on a dime and leaves people high and dry, but God will never leave me and never forsake me. I don't find it embarrassing to talk to the Lord because he's my dad. And even more than that, I'm able to bear my soul to him and talk to him about everything. After all, he saved you. And I'm starting to base my life decisions on the Word of God and not what the prevailing opinion is at any given time. I'm sure there's a few more. But there's one that is quite blatant in the Scriptures. How do I know I'm going to heaven? Because I get sick of other Christians. Not in between the fifth and sixth ribs. But you can stand to be in the presence of other Christians. Because it's hard to be in the presence of a Bible-believing Christian when you're going to hell, because every word that they say, and even their very presence, is going to convict you that you're not. How do I know I'm going to heaven? Because the Bible tells me so. 1 John chapter 5 says, 13, verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. That's how I know I'm going to heaven. It was never God's plan for us to spend our lives in this world alone, just winging it through, running from pillar to post. That was never God's plan. God's plan for human beings was a life spent talking to God and walking with God and growing in God. It doesn't make God greater. All it does is give him more work. Every time God, another soul is saved, the accuser of the brethren comes up and says, God, you know what he used to do? And Jesus says, Father, yes, he used to do that, but he's saved now. It doesn't make God greater, but it will make us greater. And more than that, it will show the world, the flesh and the devil, which way we are going. An outward show of an inward change. And it will encourage other brothers and sisters to go onwards and upwards with our Saviour. That's how you know you're going to heaven. That's how you know you're a Bible-believing Christian. I'm sure there's a bunch of other things. But that's how you know. And that's where I'm stopping this evening. I hope that's a help to you. It's worth thinking on when the world and the flesh and the devil tries to convince you otherwise. They try to tell you or put you in doubt. Remember all the things that God has done for you. And hold to them. Now, has anybody got a suggestion for him? Yes, Mrs. Bradford.
Do we have one?
Have you got one link? No, no. No. Mrs. Bradford?
247.
247. 247 is saved, saved. Let's stand as we sing. Safely, and we pray, Lord, for Lord, even now, an outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon saved and lost alike. Make people aware of our very real need. We love you and thank you, and Lord, we just leave these things at your feet. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands. Worship for us next.